Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
My unsung hero. With Chelsea Grimes on Talk Sport.
I'm Chelsea Grimes, singer, songwriter and footballer.
And the ball's played through for Chelsea Grimes!
You're listening to My Unsung Hero on Talk Sport, where I get to sit down with not only some of the best footballers to have ever played the game, but with their very own unsung hero too. I know a few footballers, and when we get to talk to them, the best stories don't actually come from them, the players themselves. They come from the people who are closest to them. You know, the people who've seen them throughout the glory days and throughout the bad days. No footballer reaches the elite level on their own. And in this show, we talk to the person who played a pivotal role in getting them to where they are today. This week, I'm speaking with an England legend and one of the greatest to have ever played the women's game.
Trying to play it to Smith! That's the record-breaking goal! 41 strikes for England! Nobody has scored more goals for their country than Kelly Smith!
Hi, I'm Kelly Smith, and my unsung hero is my dad.
She was a massive inspiration to me growing up. The fact that I even got to sit down with her was a dream come true, to be honest. But we also got to speak to her unsung hero, her father, Bernie, and what a guy he was. You know, by the end of this, it was, for me personally, just to hear from my inspiration growing up was incredible. But also to see how far she's come and to see how proud a father is, it was an incredible time. So I hope you enjoy this and I hope you take something out of it. This is My Unsung Hero on TalkSport with Kelly Smith.
Well, I am very, very, very excited to be joined by the absolute legend, Kelly Smith. And do you want to introduce who you've brought along?
Sure, yeah. My unsung hero is my pops, my dad, Bernie. And he's sitting here alongside me, very nervous.
How are you, Bernie? You okay?
He doesn't know what's coming.
Well, I wanted to start with you, Kel, just dead quick. And, you know, can you explain to us why you've chose your dad, why you've brought Bernie, and why is he your unsung hero?
From a very, as young as I can remember, my dad has always been there supporting my football career from a very, very young age. Whether it was him helping me play football in the back garden, us passing back and forth, you know, and then my football career started to play for a boys' team. He would always take me everywhere, to games, to training. I mean, stand in the rain, in the cold, in the sleet, in the sun. And as my career developed, every home game that he would be there on the sideline supporting me and giving me advice here and there, and just being there, knowing that he was there watching, made me really comfortable and wanted to go out and play even harder for myself and for him. And yeah, he's always been there throughout my whole career and given me advice along the way, and just been there at every step of the way from day one till even, you know, the end of my career, just travelled up and down the country, being there supporting me.
Oh, we've only just started and I'm already choking off.
I know, like, I was going to bring some tissues, but I thought, oh no, I can't.
Bernie, what about you, mate? Like, obviously you grew up in Watford, was that right? What was Kelly like as a child? Like, when did she start playing, or when did you start seeing that she was really into football?
Right from an early age, really. I mean, she walked at a very early age. It was about 10 months when she walked.
Wow.
And from the moment she walked, she had a ball at her feet, just a little plastic ball. And it was part of the walk as well, that she had a ball there all the time. Once she got to the sort of age about 5, there was nothing else in her life. Football was her life already at that point. She just went on from there, really. I mean, she was, whenever she could kick a ball, I mean, she wouldn't want a doll.
No Barbies.
No dolls, no dresses, no shell suits and football.
Yeah, same for me. I've met you before, Kel, so I've heard you speaking about, you know, your way into football, but was it true you played with boys, right? You played in a boys' team and you got kicked off the team because of what reason?
Just for being the best player. It wasn't that the boys that I was playing with or against, it was the parents of the opposition. They had a problem with it.
So that was your first team? You were just playing with the boys?
It was Garston Boys, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Our local, we lived in Garston in Watford, and my brother played for the team, and I managed to get on to the elder age group and just playing with all the boys, and, you know, was one of the best players on the pitch and was scoring loads of goals and dribbling around all the boys and setting people up. And I had short hair at the time, so I was a tomboy, so nobody really knew that I was a girl. Yeah. It wasn't until the fact that it got out that I was a girl. Then the parents had a problem with it, yeah.
What about you, Ben? You know, standing on the sideline, were you just the proudest person when you were watching it, just absolutely demolish the boys?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I remember one game, I mean, it was against a local team, and I was standing alongside an old school friend of mine, and he actually said to me, where's your boy? And I said, that's not my boy, that's my daughter in the middle of the pitch. And then he shouted out, Kevin, that's a girl running rings round you.
I mean, I've definitely had it growing up where I've played with the boys, and, you know, you get a few shouts here and there, but, I mean, I can't even imagine how good you was back then. Was it true, Bernie, that you then formed a girls' team for Kelly to play in?
No, not strictly true. No, no.
Oh, like this, we're breaking down some rumours here. Come on, Bernie with the gossip.
No, this happened again. It was probably the same game I was just talking about. In that there was a woman watching the game, and we didn't know at the time, but her husband actually ran a girls' team. He had about four daughters, and he ran a team. And he done the right thing, I think. He sent his wife along to watch Kelly because the approach was nicer coming from a female rather than him himself. And she asked if Kelly would like to come and join this girls' thing, which was Pinner Park Girls at the time, which this Norman Burns, I've got to give him a mention because he was fantastic for Kelly's career. He was a really great guy. Kelly went to join Pinner Park Girls. That was really the introduction into girls' football then.
Was there a lot of girls playing at the time, or was it very new?
Well, there was. I got kicked off of two boys' teams because the same thing happened at Garston Boys. Then we went across town to Herons, and then that happened. Yeah. So then Dad sat me down, and I was distraught because all I wanted to do was play football as a young kid. And he said, look, let's find you a girls' team to play on. There was no girls' team in Watford, was there? So we looked in the paper because there was no social media at that point, no internet. So we looked in the paper and we saw the local team, Pinner Park, and obviously we got introduced to Jackie, and then we went along for a trial, didn't we?
Mm. Yeah.
Amazing. So what was the climb then? So you're at that team. Obviously, you went on to make your senior debut for Wembley Ladies, now London Bees. That was your professional career starting there. But what was it from that team you just spoken about to there? What was that like?
Well, Norman, who I spoke about earlier on, he'd become involved with Wembley Ladies.
Okay.
He was running the reserve side there. Mm. So it was a natural progression, really, for Kelly to go with Norman because the girls from Pinner formed, really, the second side at Wembley. And it was from there that you moved into the first team.
Did you feel ready? Like, was you ever, like, I don't know, like, do you get nervous as a person? Like, did you ever feel, or did you always just think, I can walk into any team and I'm confident with my ability?
Yeah, I was just always confident with the ball at my feet. I just very naturally gifted. Obviously, I honed my skills and worked on them at home, and just always had a ball at my feet, but just so natural with the ball, wasn't I?
Yeah,
Did you play, Bernie? Was you a player back in the day?
No.
I mean, you don't look any older than 21, I'm just saying.
I wish I could say I was responsible for Kelly's talent, but I can't. Kelly's got a natural talent. I did play. I played at my secondary school, but I could never break into the first team. I was always in the reserves.
Was you?
Yeah, always in the reserves, yeah. And generally played at fullback and tended to get roasted by whoever came down the wing. So, no, I think I knew what to do, but I couldn't put it into practice. So I take that Kelly, what I
well, you should have had.
Come through Kelly's
took all of it.
Yeah, you're right there. Yeah.
I'm going to read a quote to you from The Independent, and it was written in August 1995, describing you as the outstanding prospect in the women's game today. Do you agree with that, Bernie? You know, when 1995, when she was based on the
showing
team.
Our age.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't write the script, Kel. I didn't write the script.
Yeah, no,
but,
without a doubt.
You know, people were obviously just absolutely buzzing about you. You were causing a scene back then, like you said. You were confident with the ball at your feet. Do you have any, like, superstitions between the periods? I don't know, like, some people with one odd sock underneath the socks, or one, I know one of the girls who I've played with before, she always had to, like, give her mum the biggest hug before she was playing a game, because apparently the first time she'd done that, she scored a hat-trick. I don't know, do you give your dad a call before every game, or was it, are you just like, it's a normal day, it's a normal game?
No, I always look for my dad first off. As soon as I walked out, I would be looking for him in the warm-up just to make sure that he was there and would make eye contact or smile or a little wave. And then I was like, all right, now I'm set. Now I know where he is. And, the nerves were then at their ease because I knew he was in the stadium and I knew where he was located.
I love that. Okay, we're going to go on to...
I just got the goosebumps.
I know. I'm literally... Have you got a tissue there? You moved to Arsenal, so we're going to go into this, in 1996. I'm sorry again, Kel, I didn't write it. I won the title that season, scoring in the game against Liverpool. Why did you have to do that?
It was against Rachel Brown too, I remember it. Highbury.
You secured the league, obviously, then. And then you decided to move to the States. What was that decision behind that? Obviously, you know, me growing up, a lot of girls, States, America, that is just... in them to go. If you want to be a professional, you had to go there. Yeah, what was your thinking behind that? Have you always wanted to go there or did something come up?
I always wanted to play for Arsenal as they were the team that I supported growing up. And when I had a conversation with Vic and he wanted me at Arsenal, it was just like, wow, this is my dream now. But training with Arsenal, it wasn't professional. It was only two evenings a week from 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock. And I was kind of frustrated because I was at that point in my early career where I wanted to be training every day with a ball. And yes, I was wearing the Arsenal badge and playing for Arsenal and we got everything that we could ever imagine at that time. I wanted to be a professional footballer and it wasn't happening in England. So when I got the opportunity to embrace a soccer scholarship out in the States, that meant I was playing with a football at my ball at my feet every single day. And as much as it destroyed me to leave Arsenal, the club that I supported, I had to follow my dream of playing every day, and that was a very, very difficult decision for me to make.
I was going to say, Bernie, what was that like when she came to you and said, where was it that you were going, Kel? Where was your first place?
New Jersey.
So what's that like, Bernie, for you? Obviously, you have been super close. Just said then she sees you in the stands. You're not going to be there at the games every week when she's in America. How was that for you?
Yeah, no, awful. I mean, we sat down and spoke about it. The approach came from about three different universities that all wanted Kelly to play for them. And we sat down and spoke about it, but we said, don't anybody form an opinion. That's Carol, my wife, as well.
Yeah.
Glenn, my son, we sat down and we all chatted about everything, about should she go, shouldn't she go, and it was all... But nobody would actually say yes or no. And once we finished the discussion, we said, right, we all got a pen and paper, and we got a piece of paper, and we just folded, put either yes or no... and then put it in a little cup and then just opened them all up together.
Oh.
And it was like unanimous, yes, she's got to go. Nobody wanted Kelly to go, but we thought it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do because she'd be playing, doing what she wanted to do.
Oh, God, I love that. Oh, amazing. You moved to the States, spending the best part of 7 years before returning to Arsenal in 2004. And you had one more stint in the States before returning to Arsenal for a third and final spell before retirement. How was the time in the States? Because I've never been there to play, obviously. Mm. I travel for music and stuff, but obviously you said every day it's training, so I can see that's different. But are you a social butterfly? Were you going out a lot? Did you have many friends there, or is it a bit lonely?
Yeah, I wasn't a very confident kid back then. I was quite shy. I let my football do the talking. I was fine on the pitch, was very shy off of it. So I did struggle early part going to university out there, especially there was something where I wasn't actually allowed to play for a couple of months because of transfer of grades and that. And that I felt really struggled with that. I was very homesick, calling a lot, saying I want to come home. And we'd set a phone call every Sunday to have a chat. And I just remember crying and saying I've just made the wrong decision. And my mum and dad would just say, just stick it out another week. And then as the time evolved, I was started to enjoy it more and embrace the game over there. But yeah, I just love playing every day, training hard in the gym and training with my team. It was just then I started living the dream out there because it was doing what I loved. I was also studying for a degree, and managing that was difficult, but I was also playing football but getting an education at the same time.
And at least you didn't have a Scouse accent because he could understand you out there, so it could have been worse.
Still to come on Kelly Smith, My Unsung Hero, we hear about her return to Arsenal after a battle with alcohol during a tough spell with injury in the States.
Tore my ACL out in Philadelphia and didn't have any support network around me. Really did lack confidence as a person. So I just hit the bottle to make me feel better, to make me feel numb, the fact that I'd lost football.
You're listening to Kelly Smith, My Unsung Hero on TalkSport.
Kelly Smith, my unsung hero with Chelsea Grimes on TalkSport.
I'm Chelsea Grimes and you're listening to My Unsung Hero on TalkSport. In this series, we get to talk to a load of footballers, but not just them. We sit down with their unsung heroes, the people who are maybe the inspirations to them, the reason why they've got this far, which you maybe don't know too much about.
He's always been there throughout my whole career, from day one till even, you know, the end of my career, just travelled up and down the country, being there, supporting me.
In this episode, we're talking to former England attacker Kelly Smith and her unsung hero, her dad, Bernie.
OK, Kelly, well, listen, let's start with your time at Arsenal. And I think, in particular, we want to focus about your second spell at the club from 05 to 2009. You know, you've returned from the States. How excited were you to be back?
Oh, yeah, buzzing. Back to the club that, obviously, that I supported. Very lucky, the fact that, you know, I was still wanted by Vic Akers, and to wear the Arsenal badge again was a very proud moment. And to play with the caliber of players that I was playing with, you know, Faye White, Jane Ludlow, Kiera Grant, Julie Fleeting, Leanne Sarnason, Yankee, all these players, you know, on top of their game at that, all in the prime of their game. And we were unbeatable. And we just felt like the Invincibles during that time. Every time we stepped out onto the field, we had this aura about us and we knew we had the talent to perform and play really good, attractive football and win every game that we stepped onto the pitch to do.
Not just win, though. You used to, like, batter people. Bernie, what about you? Like, yeah. How was that for you to know that she was coming home?
Fantastic. It means I got to watch her every week.
Did you go to every game? Would you be there?
I went to all the home games that I could get to. I didn't always go to the away games because other things come into family life. Gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't make a lot of the away games. Yeah,
walking the dog.
Yeah.
Needs one opportunity at that, Kelly Smith. And like I said before, if Arsenal are going to win this, they need her to be on form. And yeah, she's on form.
In Arsenal's quadruple winning season, 2006-2007, Kelly, you scored 30 goals in 34 games. How do you do that?
Confidence. And like I said, playing with the players I was playing with, you know, it's not an individual it's going to win you games all the time. It was a great team collective that we had and a great understanding amongst everybody. And if it wasn't for those players, those goals wouldn't have come. It's just this creativity and rhythm that we had on the pitch. It just free flowed and we just loved playing together.
Yeah.
Even training were fun. Training was fun, you know.
Was you training full time then when you got back?
Close to it, like 3 or 4 evenings a week. So we were close to being full time professionals. We was just doing a lot of individual training too, because England was at that point where they were giving us individual training programs because we wanted to be better physically, and in better endurance wise. And Hope Powell and Dawn Scott had incorporated fitness programs into us that we were doing individually in small group training with England players, and then training with Arsenal. You were flying.
Do you feel like every time you had a one on one, you were going to score?
No, I wouldn't say that. I just.
Bernie's looking like he disagrees.
I would. I put my mortgage on it. Yeah, it was like that.
Look at that.
99%.
99%.
One on one.
What about you, Kel?
One on one, maybe. Yeah,
she's changed the tune now, Bernie.
If you're saying one on one, then, you know, I was had somebody that I was, you know, posting up against. That sounds very basketball in terms of, because we were talking about America. But yeah, if I was one on one, I knew I had the skill and the ability and the speed to get away from anybody.
Yeah.
In certain position on the field.
99% we'll stick with that. Where does that rank for you in seasons, winning the quadruple? Is that up there with
massive? You know, no British team has ever won. It was the UEFA Cup at that point, which is now the Champions League, and we're the only British team to have won that major trophy. And we, like you said, we won everything that year, the FA Cup, League Cup, the league, obviously the UEFA Cup.
Ball played through to Kelly Smith, and what a lovely finish that is. Arsenal's number 10 getting in on the act and firing them into the league.
The UEFA Cup, you did miss the final, didn't you?
All right.
Listen, I'm only bringing this up, Kelly, because I got my first booking at the weekend. Listen, I'm 28 now, I'll say it, and I've started when I was 9. I've never been booked. She got sent off. I got a booking, but... You know, UEFA Cup final, come on, be honest with me. Was that just absolutely gutted and you're missing it from...
Oh.
You got a red, did you, in the
devastated.
Semis?
Devastated. It's one of my biggest regrets that I have, because it was against Bromby in the... Was it semi-final, quarter-final?
Semi.
Semi-final. Semi. Yeah, I got sent off. I got two yellow cards, which led to a red. And as I was walking off, I was so irate because I didn't feel like it was sending off. I stuck two fingers up to the crowd, which then the fourth official saw and put it in the report, which added an extra game to my ban, which meant that I missed the two-legged final. And David Dean, the obviously chairman of Arsenal of the time at the time, tried to write an apology letter to UEFA, thinking that that would help with the ban, but
she was just waving
didn't.
To her dad.
Yeah, actually, fingers. Remember, I kicked the bench too because I just lost my head, which had been known to do it sometimes during my career. But that really made me sit in the stands for those two final games in Sweden, where we won 1-0 out there, and then at Boreham Wood, it was the most horrific game I've ever watched in my life. I was there in my club tracksuit, sitting at the back of the stadium. Sweaty palms, heart beating, coming out of my chest. And just as soon as that whistle went, well, I was down there. I had tears in my eyes. I jumped over the fence and I went and celebrated with my team because the whole campaign up to that, I'd played in a big part in that. Obviously, didn't play in the final game, but I still felt like a real big part of it. So,
of course.
You was there at the...
Yeah, for the second leg.
I was going to say, Bernie, did you give her a telling off? Or what happens when she's
getting sent
off?
It was too late for that, really. I mean, the act had been done, hadn't it, really? Yeah, it's one of those things that heat at the moment, and really, I mean, she looks back on that and thinks it's the most stupid thing she could have done. But that's what you do. It's what you do. You're so.
It's a passionate game, isn't it? Sometimes, you know. Yeah. I mean, that can happen.
I don't think
my booking at the weekend.
What,
I don't think was
deserved.
Like? I just retaliated.
It
you know, 50-50. And I said, I think my words were, "You're lucky that I let you hit me then. But if you hit me one more time, I'm like," and I got done for. Bad language or something, but she got a red and we won 5-0 and I scored, so it wasn't bad. Listen, Kel, your stats in the second spell at Arsenal are just, you know, a total of 112 appearances and 100 goals. Again, just on fire, literally. You also won the FA Women's Players Player of the Year in 2006 and 2007. Was that the best form you've ever been in?
I think that era there, that those few years, I was really in real good peak form, just really strong on the ball, really fit. And when that happens, it allows you to play more freely and be on top of your game. And those were probably my best formative years.
What about you, Bernie? When you're in the crowd then, from watching her, being kicked off boys' teams, and now you're seeing your daughter absolutely, you know, top of a game, winning everything pretty much you can win. How does that make you feel?
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I just really enjoyed watching Kelly play because she's got such a natural ability. But a lot of that as well was, you know, it's not just down to Kelly. She had a fantastic team around her as well, like she said earlier on, and strong in every position they really were, which, you know, enabled Kelly then to sort of influence the game more because she knew that she didn't maybe have to defend quite so much because they were so good. They were just so good. But, yeah, I just loved watching Kelly play.
Was you ever, like, a pushy parent? Or was you more relaxed?
No. Like, I don't think I've ever pushed Kelly into anything she didn't want to do. What?
No, never.
I've always just backed everything she wanted to do, really. I wouldn't advise her to do anything. And if she asked me, then I'd say. But I wouldn't actually sort of say, do this or do that.
I think a lot of parents now are so not like how my dad was. They're very pushy, very loud on the sidelines, and their kids are scared to play.
Yeah.
Whereas he just sat back, watched and observed. And if I had a bad game and he'd see that I was down, then he'd pick me up. But it was never like be aggressive or, you know, shout or swear at the sidelines.
We'd always talk about
nervous.
The game on the way home. I mean, in the earlier days when Kelly wasn't driving, she'd come back. We'd always talk about the game on the way home, wouldn't we, as well? We'd discuss that. And if she didn't play that well, I'd pick out what I thought.
You should have passed there
Okay,
should have been too greedy in that situation.
So constructive criticism.
Yeah, always helpful. Yeah, never like real negative.
To square it, and England have their 3-goal advantage back, and it's the golden girl, Kelly Smith, who taps it home from close range.
Are we a little bit upset that the Ballon d'Or wasn't around then for you to pick that up as well? I needed to ask that because, I mean, listen, everyone I speak to now, whether it's Lucy Bronze or, you know, I was with one of my friends the other day just saying, like, who's your inspiration, your idol? And, Kel, everyone says you. You're the pinnacle for everyone. So let's be honest, if the Ballon d'Or was around, you probably would have won that. Is there a part of you that the competitiveness in you wishes that it was around?
Yeah, I was actually voted. It was around then. It was... we went out to Zurich, didn't we, Switzerland, for the event. Yeah. And it was a time where, you know, women's football in England, it really wasn't, the highlight wasn't on that. It was not in the press or anything like that. So I kind of went under the radar a little bit. It was Birgit Prince, Mia Hamm, Abby Wambach, later on, Marta was always the name. I used to get a little bit frustrated with it because all the other nations only knew about Marta. They never knew about me because she just got all the praise all the time. So I'm not bitter about it, you know, in that sense of the word, but it was always, I guess when I played in America, it was always Marta v. Kelly, and they bigged it up that way.
Well, let's be honest, I'm a Kelly fan. Okay, well, we've spoke there about like a lot of highs, but obviously with highs, there has to be a few lows in life in general. And this show, again, for me, is just all the listeners out there knowing that, you know, having the people around you can get us through like really bad places in life and stuff like that. So we are going to go into something that you've been really open about. And prior to joining Arsenal for the second spell, you returned to England from the States and spent a bit of time at the Priory. And I just wanted to ask you, how was that for you? Do you look back on that and are you so proud of yourself that you battled through stuff and look at you now? Or is it like a bit of a dark time still to look back on?
I think I'm kind of proud that I come out of it in a good, positive way. Those times were very, very difficult for me because I had, you know, four serious injuries back to back. Tore my ACL out in Philadelphia and didn't have any support network around me and really struggled, as I said before, really like did lack confidence as a person. So I just hit the bottle to make me feel better, to make me feel numb, the fact that I'd lost football. I got myself back from that and then got hit on the same knee and then tore my cartilage. So, I broke my leg after that I just got myself back to playing and then another serious injury happened and I was just in a dark place.
How long was that for, like, that injury process? Was it like over a year?
Over 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, 6 months injury, come back, started playing, first game, got hit on my knee, same knee, and then another 9 months out, come back again, and then took a challenge from behind and broke my leg. So, yeah, I just felt really low about myself. The fact that I couldn't express myself and play football, something that I'd love to do. I just lost who I was as a person and spoke to my dad when I was out in New Jersey and he knew that something was wrong because I was very distant.
Yeah.
Didn't really communicate that well and just was really dark and he knew that something was wrong and we just had a conversation. He said, right, I'm coming on a plane right now to come and get you. And that's what happened.
I was going to say, Bernie, did you know something was wrong? Did the Sunday call start not happening as much? Or, you know, for you, obviously, I mean, I've only lived in London, apart from my mum's in Liverpool, but like we said before, being in America, it must be hard for a parent, you know, you can't do nothing really, can you?
No, nothing at all. I mean, you could sense something was wrong. Like Kelly said on the phone call, you could sense something was wrong. And I just thought, she needs someone out there from the family, so I thought we'd go out there. And at that point, when I saw the state of Kelly, I thought, you're coming home.
Yeah.
You're coming home. You're not staying there anymore.
I love that.
No, she was not in a good place at all. No.
But again, just talking about, you know, you have to have the downs to get right back up. But we do talk about, you know, a lot about these days, the abuse that professional footballers suffer from, the stands even. It's not just sometimes, obviously, our own demons. But I wanted to ask you, Bernie, when you are in the stands, not sure if it happened a lot, because obviously Kelly was a superstar, but if you hear someone given a grief, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I have heard it. Yeah, I ignored it, to be perfectly honest, because it was, to me, it was envy. Supporters on Kelly's team, whether it be at Arsenal or England, always behind Kelly. It tended to be some of the opposition ones, because when Kelly goes on the pitch, she's a different person to what she is off the pitch. When she crosses that white line, she becomes quite arrogant. And that comes over on the pitch, I think, lots of time. And I think people that don't know the real Kelly then,
misjudge her.
Yeah, they misjudge her from the stands. But I heard lots of things I didn't like, but I thought, I'd just ignore it. We're winning anyway.
So. Yeah, and then when she scores as well, you're like, nice one, mate.
Yeah, just on that arrogant point, I think you need that arrogance to be a top elite level player. It's not like an arrogance of...
I get what you're saying, because it's like that one-on-one thing, which I said before, you know. You can't be going in one-on-one in a final or whatever it is and thinking, oh, that goalkeeper's better than me, she's going to save it. You've got to be thinking, I've got a chance here, or, you know, I get what you're saying completely. But it's
having belief in yourself and having the experience and the knowledge to deliver it.
If you took that arrogance away, she wouldn't be the same player anyway.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
But I'm not that off the pitch, am I, like you said?
No.
I'm very little bit...
I've only met you, like, 3 or 4 times, and I said to Jo, the producer on the show, before we started, wait until you meet her. She's the most loveliest, kindest, very quiet. I said, when me, you and Ian sometimes... And Ian's...
Chat.
Ian Wright we're talking about for the listeners. And then I don't... like stop talking, I'm like da, da, da. And then Kelly, just sometimes you just sit quiet and I'm just like, for me, I love being around you because then all my mates are jealous anyway.
Plenty more to come on Kelly Smith, my unsung hero, including missing out on the 1995 World Cup because of her GCSEs.
I needed my GCSEs as a backup plan, so we agreed as a family again that it's probably best that I focus on my education, got them, and then see where football took me.
This is Kelly Smith, my unsung hero, with me, Chelsea Grimes, on TalkSport.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Kelly Smith, my unsung hero on Talk Sport.
You're listening to My Unsung Hero on Talk Sport with me, Chelsea Grimes. And in this series, we talk to footballers and also the people closest to them, the people who inspire them, which you maybe don't know too much about.
I always look for my dad first off. As soon as I walked out, I would be looking for him in the warm-up just to make sure that he was there and would make eye contact or smile or a little wave. And then I was like, all right, now I'm set. The nerves are then at ease because I knew he was in the stadium.
This week, we're talking to former England attacker Kelly Smith and her unsung hero, her dad, Bernie. Well, let's talk about becoming England's record goal scorer. You know, we talk about the pressures on a professional player. Not many players in both the men's and women's game would have had as long and as distinguished career as yourself. You played 117 times for your country, becoming the record goal scorer in the process with 46 goals. You made your debut for England at age 17. And am I right in saying, we spoke about it before, about the GCSEs. Didn't you get a call up to the 1995 World Cup, but you were doing GCSEs?
Yeah, was it in Sweden?
I think it was, yeah.
The World Cup was in Sweden, was, and yeah, Ted Copeland was the manager at the time, and he called me up, and I was just like, I can't go, Dad. I've got my GCSEs. I need to get an education, because what if football was so, like, amateur back then for women that I just didn't know. If I didn't have anything to fall back on, I needed my GCSEs as a backup plan. So we agreed as a family again that it's probably best that I focus on my education, got them, and then see where football took me.
Amazing. It's still, I just can't believe I read that.
I remember watching it on TV too. It was very late at night and then probably got only like 5 or 6 minutes on one of the football shows. And I was like, oh my God, I could have been there. I remember Jill Coulthard playing, Hope Powell, Kerry Davis, all these names that I was looking up to, and I could have been there with them. Probably wouldn't have played a lot because being so young, but just that experience that probably missed out on just to get my GCSEs.
I love that you're just watching and you're revising at the same time.
Here is Kelly Smith. Perfection. The stunning strike.
Talk to me about the highest, the most standout moments, I think, in your international career, and as well for you, Bernie, what you can remember.
Well, two for me. First one was 2009 in Finland, and we were playing Russia, I think it was. It's still in the group stages.
Was this the Euros, World Cup?
In the Euros, yeah. And we're, the girls were expected to beat Russia comfortably, really, and I think they took it too softly within minutes. And I think it's probably inside 20 minutes, ever 2-0 down.
We had to win the game to go through to get out of the group.
2-0 down,
2-0 down.
And I can't remember who scored the two goals to bring it back level. I really can't. I should do. but the standout one for me was before half-time, Kelly had picked the ball up in just inside their half and noticed the keeper off her line, and she just launched it straight over the top of the keeper. That moment was a real spine tingler.
Yeah.
It really was, just to see that loop over the keeper.
Smith. It's Kelly Smith!
What about you, Kel? Do you remember that game well?
I remember us being really slow off the start of the game and just thinking, God, 2-0 down, how are we going to get out of this? And then I remember looking at Kaz Kani making eye contact with her and being like, you know what, we need to do something right now. We managed to pull the game back and eventually get out of the group.
It's like a superhero thing.
That was actually like a brilliant tournament for us in a way, because we got to the final. We ended up losing to Germany and picked up a silver medal. And a lot of people don't really know that we reached that final. It really wasn't broadcasted anywhere within England or any European country, but we lost the game 6-2, and it wasn't a 6-2 game. It was a brilliant play in that final. Got a silver medal, as I said. But it was just a journey that the team had from the start of that tournament to the end. Disappointing in a way, but, you know, we'd made a lot of progress over the years to even get to a final. Yeah. And also, my first ever big tournament was the World Cup in 2007 in China. That for me was a brilliant standout moment, because playing in packed stadiums in China was, you know, for about 10 years we've been trying to qualify for a major tournament as an England team and just never really been good enough. So when we did that with that group of players was really special. And I remember standing in the lineup, obviously finding your face before during the national anthem against Japan, game. Japan, and I scored two goals in that game, and we actually tied the game in the 2-2 in the last minute.
And now here comes Smith, fires it into the back of the net. What a finish from Kelly Smith, and the Lionesses hit the front.
We thought we'd won our first ever World Cup game, but we just managed to get a draw at the end of it. But just a brilliant occasion to represent England.
What's it like as well? Obviously, like a World Cup diesel. How different is it from club to international?
Oh, it's so different.
What are they?
The speed of play during that time was so much quicker. Players were stronger, fitter, faster than club football. So it was a bit of a step up every time you go away with the England team. It took us a while to adjust to it in terms of training when we're together. But just the professionalism too was, with England, you were always very, you knew that you were being watched because you had the badge on. Just, the professionalism of it, travelling to all the top countries that we got to play in. It's brilliant.
Yeah, amazing. You just spoke then about, obviously, tournaments not being broadcast as much back then. You know, now the World Cups are breaking records and stuff like that. Do you wish that it was happening like that now? Or do you wish you were still playing there?
I don't think you can wish your career away or wish your life away in that respect. I just see all the games now.
It's amazing.
It's brilliant to see where the game has come from. When I first started playing, no games were on TV. People used to say, oh, you only play one game a year, and that's the FA Cup final.
That's all I used to see. That's the only Arsenal, game Fulham, Arsenal.
TV. But little did they know that we played in cup competitions, FA Cups, League Cups, UEFA Cups. But now, the game, to see where it is brilliant. You know, you even get, like, you know who the players are now. You have stories that these people, the players, that you can follow their careers.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was playing, nobody, kind of a little bit under radar.
Yeah. Well, you got to get the tube and stuff. No one will bother you.
I think during your career as well, international-wise, the media never really got interested until the girls got so far into the tournament.
Yeah, good
point.
So if they were in the group stage, you wouldn't know anything about the group stages. If they made the quarters or the semis, the media then decided, oh, we got a little something here. Now. Yeah, and that's when they started to take an interest in it.
Talking about highs and being record-holding goal scorer for England, can you remember that goal?
I remember only because I've seen it on TV.
See, you've scored 46,
yeah,
but the 41st goal was the record-breaking goal. Mm. Talk us through that, Kel.
It was against Switzerland, and I remember the ball. I think it was Farrah had the ball, Farrah Williams.
Mendley loses it. Jill Scott, Kelly Smith. It's back to Williams.
It rebounded back, and I managed to get it onto my left foot and smack it in.
Trying to play it to Smith. That's the record-breaking goal.
I didn't know about that it was going to be a record-breaking goal until we was in a press conference a couple of days before, and they said, you know, if you score this goal, Kelly, you will become England's leading goal scorer. And I was like, oh, wow, that sounds really cool. Didn't even know. I think it was Kaz Walker at the time. Brilliant player. Loved playing with Kaz. She was such a quality player, yeah, wasn't she? Yeah, just a leader up top. Yeah. And for me to go one past her was surreal, because I really respected her as a player. And
did she drop you the text after?
No, she didn't, actually. Yeah. Still waiting for that, Kaz.
Still to come on Kelly Smith, My Unsung Hero. She discusses the London 2012 Olympics while also paying tribute to her father, Bernie.
I would not have been the person and the player that I was if he wasn't there to guide me. Getting all choked up now, Chelsea, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have had the career that I would have had if it wouldn't have been for this guy sitting next to me.
You're listening to Kelly Smith, My Unsung Hero on TalkSport.
Kelly Smith, My Unsung Hero with Chelsea Grimes on TalkSport.
Well, when she's at her best, there's just no stopping Kelly Smith.
Hi, I'm Kelly Smith, and my unsung hero is my dad.
Bernie, hey. This is a question for you. How do you keep a grounded? You know, a lot of players burst onto the scene. We see it in the men's and the women's game. Burst out onto the scene, have a, you know, good five minutes of being a starlet and then drop off the face of the earth. How have you managed to keep it grounded throughout the whole of a career?
I don't think that's down to me, to be perfectly honest. No, I think, well, her mum certainly keeps her grounded, without a doubt. She won't. I mean, Kelly's never been a person to sort of, you know, here I am or anything like that. She's always been in the background. If there's a crowd of people, Kelly will be in the background. She won't be up front. So I don't think we needed to. Kelly's own sort of persona, really. I mean, she is what she is. She's very quiet, and I don't think we needed to do anything like
just
that,
because
it was natural. It was natural. She never become too big for her boots.
How have you done it, Kel? Like, because I see it still now. You know, players who haven't had as much success as you have, and just kind of not very nice people. Some people, not all. Yeah. But how have you just stayed to be lovely?
Oh, thanks. I don't know, Chelsea. I think it's just me, how I am as a person and how I've been brought up. I've always let my talent do the talking on the football pitch, and I've just always been very relaxed and probably not the most confident person away from it. I'm never going to be really loud and shouting and, I don't know, like start conversations.
Yeah.
I've never been that confident. I've just always been very just reserved and just like to observe a social situation and think, oh, where would I fit in there? And just be very standoffish a little bit and almost a little bit, I don't know.
It's just the complete polar opposite, though. I find that in a lot, and it's not just footballers. It's in, you know, musicians and every, really the most famous of famous people tend to be really quiet, and then, you know, on stage or on the pitch, boom, completely different.
I always thought myself as Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. You
know, as soon as I step on that football pitch, like my dad said, I'm someone different. I'm confident. I'm somewhat arrogant. I like to take charge. I like to take ownership of it. Give me the ball, kind of thing. I'll dictate the tempo and be the star, so to speak. But off the pitch, I'm just like, oh my God, please don't come and speak to me, because I'm like a nervous
wreck. Don't look at me.
You know, I'd never really want to hang around after games
now,
because I just wanted to get back to my family and, you know, have a Sunday roast dinner.
Homebird. Love it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, like, what was the highlight in your international career? But I was just going to, you know, touch on the Olympics. Is that up there
for
you? You know, you were in the squad at age 33, went on to make 4 appearances at the tournament. How proud was that? You know, you're at the Olympics, first women's team. you know, Great Britain. What was that like?
Oh, I was buzzing because never in a million years did I think that I'd ever play in the Olympics, because football was never in the Olympics, and especially the way politics were going at that time, you know, with England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, to have a GB team come around, especially in London, was just unreal. And I was currently injured just before the squad was announced. I'd just come in over a broken leg, and I was kind of like 75% fit going into that, and was grateful, obviously, that I got the nod to do that. To play at Wembley in front of 75,000.
Was you there, Bernie?
I was there. Yeah.
How was it for you?
It, Brazil,
it
was wasn't it?
I watched and missed the penalty.
Yeah, I missed the penalty at Wembley. Oh, you've got to bring that up, thanks.
I thought I'd drop that one in.
I love that.
It was unreal. You know, to be in the athletes' village, stuff that you hear about, all the different athletes.
It looks like a fake story town, or like Balamori or something when you see it on TV.
In the village and the restaurants, and you get to see so many different athletes walking about, and they're off, you know, just to go compete at their events, and you get to talk with them because, you know, they've been training for 4 years for this one individual event, and obviously, it was just unreal.
What were your expectations? Did you think you were going to win it?
I thought we would have got further than what we did with the players that we had. It just wasn't meant to be. I just didn't, for some weird reason, we just didn't show up against Canada. And that was really disappointing because we had the players to
and the home
to
advantage.
Do better.
Shame you go and beat Brazil.
Yeah.
And you lose to Canada.
That was such an emotional game for us at Wembley and playing in front of all those fans. And then the next game against Canada, I think we let too much emotion out in that game, and we were kind of a little bit mentally exhausted for that.
Yeah,
just didn't turn up, and it was so frustrating to be watching because I picked up a dead leg in that game and I couldn't recover in time. And sitting down with Hope, and she said, look, we'll save you for this because we're going to beat Canada and then play in the next game. And it, I was just like, oh my God, when we didn't get through, it was just soul destroying.
Yeah. Bernie, what did you say? What kind of, on the back of a big loss like that, What kind of hero are you then? Do you step in and it's like, don't worry about it? Or are you like, oh, should have scored then, shouldn't you? What were your words of motivation
It's an arm round the shoulder, isn't it? A little cuddle sort of thing. And, you know, there's always another game. That's football, isn't it? You just move on. If you lose a game, you move on.
I love it.
And don't get too down about it, because there'll be something else around the corner.
There we go.
Inspirational
words from Bernie. I love it. Can I just call you whenever I'm having a bad day, please?
And the ball's played through to Smith. Only going to be one outcome. Kelly Smith doubles Arsenal's lead.
When you look back on your career, Kel, and obviously Bernie, when you're looking back on Kelly's career, what are your feelings overall?
I'm really proud of my career, and I absolutely loved every time I represented England. It was my dream to play for my country. To hear that national anthem when you're standing there amongst your teammates gives me goosebumps to this day. And I'm just proud that I got so many opportunities to do that. Obviously, I had the injuries to deal with too, but still managed to fight through them and come out the other end and try to be better person every time that I come back from a serious injury. So I never gave up during those injuries and those dark times. I just kept going and kept plugging away because I always wanted to be the best player that I could be.
Love it. What about you, Bernie?
Immensely proud. Well, it seems like it was all in a bubble, to be honest now, and looking back on it. I mean, it was over a number of years.
Yeah.
But it just seems so surreal, really, now looking back. Proudest, had some proud moments, some massive moments. Kelly's first cap was probably the most meaningful one, in that it was at Roker Park, Sunderland's old ground. We travelled up there on the day, and when the national anthem was played at the beginning, I had to sit down.
That's something that you'll remember forever.
That was the first
one
ever. But no, there's been some fantastic times throughout her career.
I feel like it went so quick.
Yeah, it did.
To any young girl out there,
career, isn't it?
Just embrace every moment that you get to play, because my career just flew by. It's just a blink of an eye and then it's gone. So just embrace every moment and opportunity that you have and play with a smile on your face, because it could come to an end at any point with an injury or whatever. But just enjoy it and love what you do.
Listen, everyone out there, that's Kelly telling you, so better believe it. Last question is going to be the unsung hero. Do you think Kelly would have had the success that she had without you? And Kelly, do you think you'd be where you are today without your dad?
Absolutely no. I would not have been the person and the player that I was if he wasn't there to guide me. getting all choked up now, Chelsea. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have had the career that I would have had if it wouldn't have been for this guy sitting next to me.
Oh, Kel.
Stop making me cry.
What are you, Danny?
I have to disagree with her. I'm sorry. I think she'd have made it anyway. I really do.
No way.
It was a natural talent she had. I'm a father, is neither here nor there. She had that natural ability. The one thing I'm grateful for is that she never abused it, and she just progressed and progressed. And, yeah, massively, massively, massively proud.
Oh, I love this. Thank you guys so much. Listen, I'm going to get me and you a tissue, Kel. And then once COVID's over, Bernie, I want a big hug from you, OK? Thank you so much,
definitely,
guys,
Chelsea,
for coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you for being such a warm and kind host. You were brilliant.
Thanks, Kel.
Lovely, thanks.
You've been listening to Kelly Smith, My Unsung Hero, with me, Chelsea Grimes. A reminder, if you missed any of the show, you can listen back on the TalkSport app. Well, for me personally, that was something that I never thought I would ever do, to sit down with the greatest women's footballer, you know, to ever walk the earth. For me personally, you know, I still remember watching her just absolutely kill teams when I was, you know, 10, 11, watching from home, dreaming of being a professional footballer. So, yeah, for me, on a personal note, that was so inspiring. And I hope you guys listening felt the same way. Next week in our series finale, Liverpool defender Andy Robertson. Yes, come on. He's going to reveal who his unsung hero is.
You know, for they to do a lot of sacrifice for me back then, you know, it meant a lot. And obviously it helped me get to where I wanted to be and where I am now.
You've been listening to My Unsung Hero with me, Chelsea Grimes, on TalkSport.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.